Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. When the Apostle Paul began this letter, he began with a statement of his apostleship by the will of God. But he also makes a distinction here that he does not make in the other books, because he says to the church of God in Corinth. This is a change of form, because normally he would say to the church in Corinth, or to the saints in such and such city. But in 2 Corinthians, he addresses to the church of God in Corinth. I believe that this distinction actually is part of his setting the tone for what he's getting ready to unfold in the chapters that will follow. There was tension between Paul and the church at Corinth. We'll unpackage some of that tension as we go along here, but I want you to find a bit of identification. Truth in spiritual things is not easily accepted or embraced. Now, you think about this. If it's in an area that you have already conquered in your life, it's easy to say the amen, right? If it's in an area that you're struggling with, or one that you have boxed up and kind of set over to the side as a future thing to deal with, when that truth comes forth and it is met, and all of a sudden you are compelled to open that closet door and take a look at that thing that's in there, or open that package up that you stored it away. How many know what I'm talking about? It's kind of, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes in our lives there are things that we want to hang on to that God has asked us to give Him or to turn loose of. Is that a revelation? No, I think to most people that are walking after the Lord, you understand exactly what I'm talking about, because, you know, some things we give to Him readily, but other things He will ask for, He'll petition for, if you will, and we acknowledge that we have heard Him, but yet we kind of set Him over to the side. You know, the Lord speaks to your heart and says, love your neighbor. And you say, but my neighbor is an idiot. So how about if I love all my neighbors except for the idiot? Huh? Or here, I'll give you another one. You can jump on this one. He says, pray for those who are over you in politics and governments. We are admonished to pray for them. And we say, okay, Lord, I'll pray for this one, this one, this one, this one, but that one's an idiot. I like that word this morning. You know, this one's an idiot, so I'm not going to pray for them. I'm just hoping that they'll get out. Huh? Okay, so, you know, I'm just giving you a couple of things there so you can kind of understand what I'm talking about. You set some things aside because they're not convenient. And then all of a sudden, you're in a service, or you're listening to the radio, or you're listening to a tape or something or other, and then the Spirit of the Lord speaks to your heart about what? That one idiot. Huh? And He says, love thine idiot. Yeah. And how many can agree that we don't always react to that well? Okay. There's what we call self-justification. And resentment. If a preacher touches on too many of those tucked away areas, all of a sudden he's no longer a good preacher. You ever notice that? I don't like listening to him. Why? Well, I don't know. I just don't care for him. I know some of you have already done that to me. I'm just sorry. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to go down through a list and just imagine. Now, what happened was the Apostle Paul went to Corinth, began the church, saw many people get saved. All right? He stayed with them for a time. We've talked about that in 1 Corinthians. He stayed with them for a time, but then he left and he went on his journey. Then he gets a letter or information coming back that there's all these different things that are happening in the church. Well, he sends them a letter to address those things. They receive the letter, they open it up, and they read it, and they are fuming. Let me show you why. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, divisions in the church. Chapter 2, differences between the earthly and God's wisdom. Chapter 3, divisions in the church. Chapter 4, the value of listening to those over them in leadership. Chapter 5, the need to expel the immoral person from their fellowship. Chapter 6, lawsuits between believers and sexual immorality that should not be in the church. Chapter 7, instructions on marriage. Chapter 8, food sacrificed to idols. Chapter 9, the rights of a leader to share in the income of the church. Chapter 10, warnings from Israel's history. Chapter 11, propriety and worship, including the Lord's Supper. Chapter 12, instructions concerning spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, what real godly love looks like. Chapter 14, order in worship and administration of spiritual gifts in the church. Chapter 15, the reality of the resurrection of Christ and the importance of the church. Chapter 16, instructions concerning giving. There was something in there for everybody to get mad at. No joke. I mean, there, you know, if it didn't hit you directly, it would have hit you, you know, the people who were friends of that one who was caught in the act, who the church kept, you know, chapter 6. It wouldn't have been just that person, it had been all of their friends. Don't you know that the Apostle Paul made some pretty staunch enemies? Don't ever invite that idiot back. Huh? He can't preach anyway. I want you to see, in today's passage, we're going to see Paul answering the charges that are levied against him by the church, but they are in response to his tough teaching. My Bible says that in the last days, people will heap unto themselves teachers who will scratch the itch of their itching ears. In other words, they will speak things that people want to hear. We're really living in that day. We really are. Say, who do you like to listen to? Oh, I love to listen to this person. You begin to examine their ministry, and quite often, way too often, everything that they talk about is all in the safe zone. Huh? Then all of a sudden, pastors who love their congregation stand up and preach the counsel of the Word of God, maybe verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and you come across things that aren't the most comfortable in the world. And people go, you know, I'd much rather listen to this guy over here. I mean, huh? You know, if we're really truthful, we don't like the challenge that comes spiritually in our lives when the Word of God is preached in its full counsel. There is truly something in the path that will get us all. We have to decide how we're going to take it. These folks were, well, they were pretty tore up. And so then, if you've ever noticed this, when you're kind of upset with somebody, then everything that they do makes you mad. let me ask it this differently. How many are married? Okay, then you know what I'm talking about. I may have said it that way, but that's not what I meant. Huh. The Apostle Paul, I can tell you this from the very beginning of this, he loved them. He loves them. He loved them and cared more about their spiritual lives than even they could comprehend, or maybe even more than they loved or were concerned about themselves. He realized that the things that were happening in that church was going to destroy the church. So he was going after them. And yet he did not want to breach the relationship that he had with them. Now, why is that important to us? You say, well, I'm not Paul, and you know, this isn't Corinth. Well, because if you live a spiritual life, there will be in your journey times that you will have to speak difficult things into people's lives if you love them. You will have to share with them some things that they do not want to hear. Sorry, it's true. If you are listening to the Lord, if you are listening to the Holy Spirit, He will speak into your heart something to share with someone, and you will rise up immediately and you will say, but if I say that, they're going to, and then there will be a qualifier. It's not just what happens from this pulpit to the pew. It happens in the lives of Christians. Now, here's the key. Many do not share those things, because they realize that there's going to be a cost. May we learn from the Apostle Paul the greater way. If the Holy Spirit says to you, you know that person who wants nothing at all to do with church, gets mad anytime anybody says anything about spiritual things? Anybody know anybody like that? Okay. You know that person, and the Holy Spirit says to you, I want you to tell them that I love them. I want you to tell them what my word says. If you will go ahead and step out and take the chance, the Holy Spirit will put the words into your mouth. He will stand with you. And I'm telling you this morning, there may be repercussions. But you will be able to stand as the Apostle Paul stood. Let me show you how he stood. Down in verse number 12, he says, now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of our Lord Jesus. I believe what he's starting off with there, if I'm going to give it into a couple of words, is our conscience testifies. Our conscience testifies. He says, I can stand before you and stand before God with a clear conscience that I gave you what God told me to give you. There's going to be a lot of Christians, there's going to be a lot of preachers that are going to stand in the presence of God and have to give an account, not for the words that they said, but for the words that they did not say, because they felt there would be repercussions. It's not an easy thing to speak the truth of God to people that don't want to hear it. But again, it's not just my responsibility as a pastor. Yes, I have that responsibility, but it's not just mine. It belongs to every believer if you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because it can be as simple as a glorious message that Jesus died for your sins. You don't have to live the life that you're living. Sometimes people don't want to hear that. But if the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you to speak to them, it's yours just as much as burden that I carry when I step up here. Our stand when sharing the faith must begin with a clear and honest conscience. This is what God has put before me. Now, if we're guilty of the same matter, we also have to be forthright. We cannot be more strict on others than we are on ourselves. We must be aware that our own guilt in a matter will often make us more harsh and even unforgiving of others in judgment of their conduct. But listen, there's nothing wrong with owning our failures as we reach out to help others in their need. In other words, I have been guilty myself. I have been where you are. I have done what you did. Moms and dads, too often we discipline our children as though we were totally innocent of all transgression, thinking it would be weakness for us to acknowledge our own guilt. You know what it does? It puts a breach between us and our kids. It's a breach called a lie. Truth will set you free. Truth will open up the doors. A clear conscience is the only way to speak the truth of God into a life, even the lives of your own kids. Quiet in here. We'll see what that does. Paul states that his conscience testifies concerning his own conduct. He says, first in the world, he kept himself separate from the world, maintained a constant witness before the world. Second, in relationship to the church at Corinth, his conscience is clear of any offense. He didn't even take advantage of the things that belonged to him. He did what he needed to do to have a clear conscience before them. Although they may have been offended by his harshness in delivering the truth, he felt compelled by the Spirit to give them what he had received from the Lord. And you and I should feel that same compulsion. If the Holy Spirit lays something in our hearts or puts it into our mind that we are to share it, whether it be with our child or whether it be with a friend or somebody that we don't even know, if we do not do it, our conscience will check us. I've shared with you my own personal situation on that in the past. In a hospital corridor, on the stairs in a hospital, I walked past a woman who was standing in a windowsill, bawling her eyes out, but I was too busy to stop. That has been 35 plus years ago, and I still carry it. Number one, because I wonder what kind of ministry I could have had with that gal. Perhaps I could have led her to Jesus. I don't know. I don't know what the end result was for her or the situation that she was encountering. All I know was that the Spirit of the Lord put me in that place where she was at on that occasion to speak to her, and I was too busy to stop. I'm taking the stairs so that I didn't have to wait on the elevator. But the Lord put me there so that I could minister to that lady, and I ran past her. I still see her. You hear what I'm saying this morning? You see, sometimes we have a single opportunity, just one, to minister to somebody. The Apostle Paul realized that in response to what he heard about the church, he had to react, and he had to react completely. He had to share with them what was truth concerning the church and holiness and everything that God desired. He had to. If he would have withheld anything, perhaps chapter 7 on marriage, if Paul would have said, you know what? I've never been married. What do I know about it? And the Holy Spirit says, tell them this. Yeah, but what are they going to take from me? I've never been married. If you read that chapter, he puts a qualifier in there. He says, you may not believe me because I've never been through it, but this is what is true. And that's the reason why he could stand then on this day when he receives word back from them that they're all hurt. They're all, you know, the church is all tore up over him because he was so rough on them when he wrote to them. He speaks of the origin then of his teaching. He says, not according to worldly wisdom. He said, I didn't just come up with this stuff. He said, I receive from the Lord what I give to you. As a matter of fact, that's the way he says it in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians when he's talking about Holy Communion. He said, that which I receive from the Lord, I pass on to you. I give on to you. He wanted them to realize this is not just Paul's thinking. When you and I pick up 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we are not just reading Paul's thoughts. We are reading the Word of God given to us through the Apostle Paul. He said, but man, he was a man. He was fallible. Absolutely. But that's the way that God has chosen to send His Word forth into the world. And guess what? You are included in that. He wants the Word of God to pass through your lips. He wants to put His Spirit Word into your heart and into your mind and have you confess it with your lips. If you truly believe in Him, if you truly will let Him be God and Lord and Master of your life, then He wants to speak His Word through you just like He did the Apostle Paul. And let me tell you something, they will not always receive that Word with gladness. So don't try to judge whether or not, well, that must not have been a word of God because they're mad at me. It could almost be the opposite. Listen to Paul's hope there in verse number 14 and we'll move on. He says that as they have understood partly what he has spoken, that they would by the Spirit understand fully and then realize his true intentions. Have you ever in your life thought that somebody's advice was incorrect until you actually lived it out and then you realized, ooh, boy, they were really smart. Huh? And so that's basically what he's saying. Keep growing. Keep moving forward in the Lord. You're going to understand that the word that I'm giving you is the word for you. It's truth in this matter. And you're going to look back intently and realize, hey, he loved us. That lost person who turns on you when you share with them the gospel, on that day that they surrender their life to the Lord, you can expect them to come back around. They'll find you. They'll call you. They'll send something to you, a stack of flowers or something or other, and say, you spoke into my life when I didn't want to hear it, but I've come to know your Jesus, and now he's my Jesus. And I realize that everything you said to me, you didn't say in anger. You said to me in love. Now, let me just put one qualifier and then I'm going to scoot on. And that is, make sure that what you say to them is the word of the Lord and not the word of Larry. Huh? Not just Larry, but we all have a tendency sometimes, you know, there's what God told us and then there's what we want to tell. And furthermore, stop when the Lord stops. I mean, for the clear conscience sake, because you will remember the line that you stepped over. And that'll be the thing you'll be concerned about more than anything else. It won't be what God told you to speak because he'll give you peace in your heart. But if you cross over the line, you start going out, you know, into your own politics and your own whatever, look out because you'll own it and your conscience won't be clear and it'll get painful. Anybody that's been there, say amen. Okay, look down at verse number 15. He says, because I was confident of this, I planned to visit you. Now, here is the difficulty of the moment. And let me just lay it out for you really quick. All right? Before I even read it, let me lay it out for you. His plan was to go to Ephesus, Macedonia, Corinth, and Jerusalem. He did it differently. He went to Ephesus, Corinth, Macedonia. His plan was to go back to Corinth and then Judea. If you read the end of 1 Corinthians, he says, I'm going to come back to you. He went to them. They wrote to him. He wrote back to them. And then he decided not to go back. He'll tell you why in just a minute. But he changed his plan. His itinerary actually was, he went to Ephesus, he went to Corinth, but it was a rather painful visit. He returns to Ephesus, where the riot occurred. He went to Troas, he went to Macedonia, and that was the place of this writing. He didn't go back to Corinth. Now we read it. Because I was confident of this, I planned to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I planned to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. When I planned this, did I do it lightly? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say yes and yes and no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among me by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in me it was always has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership upon us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Amen. Now, even without the report that came from the church at Corinth, we can tell that they were accusing Paul of being fickle or wishy-washy in his plans. I shared with you already about how his plans change. Now, let me ask you, any of you ever change your plans? Some of you do. Some of you don't. You won't understand. Those of you that never change your plans, you won't understand at all. You probably will be really mad at Paul because he changed his plans. Here's Paul's first defense of his change in plans. His original plan was to visit them not once, but twice. But he says, did I do it lightly? He says, was I following my own course in this? In other words, were these journeys that we mapped out and made these plans? If you will remember his missionary journey, he took off and he was going to head east and the door closed. So he got ready to go north and the door closed. And so as he was spending a sleepless night, what happened? He had a dream about a Macedonian. Huh? There was a dream about a Macedonian. And the Apostle Paul realized that that was the Spirit of the Lord directing him to go to Macedonia and to preach. So instead of going east, which he would have done, because the gospel hadn't gone there and he wanted to preach the gospel where no one had heard it, instead of going north, he went in the direction that the Lord wanted him to go. So that's the reason why he says, hey, do you think that I'm making my plans lightly? He said, God is ordering this thing. I'm just trying to be obedient to him. He was expressing that his original intent was to have two opportunities to minister them. He challenges the idea that he makes any of his plans lightly so that in the same breath he says, I may say yes and yes and no and no. You note this is a question. He's saying, you know me. This is not my character. Let me ask you this question this morning. If somebody said to you, well, you know, I came there and I heard Pastor Bill speak, but I don't think he came prepared. What would be your reaction? Have I ever come before you? Have I ever come before you that I was not prepared? Go ahead. So, I mean, of all the things that you might be able to say about me, good or bad, one thing that you could count on was that if I stood before you, I would be there prepared. Huh? Board members, those of you that have served on the board since I've been here, have I ever come to a meeting unprepared? Okay, so there may be many things that you do not know about me or many things that I may have disappointed you in, but there's one thing that you would know, and that is that if I'm going to come to a meeting or if I'm going to come to preach, I'm going to come prepared. That's what Paul's saying. He said, have you ever known me to just throw care to the wind and do whatever I wanted to do? He said, you know, I'm not working on yes and no's and all this kind of business. He said, it is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He said, the plans of my life, the plans that I make are not my own. They're the plans of the Lord. He said, when I go, I'm going because the Lord has sent me to a place. He realizes he could have pushed back. When he wanted to go to the east, he could have said, no, I want to go to the east. There's nobody there that's heard the gospel. I'm going to go. But what had he learned? He had learned that to go there by himself was nothing. To go where the Lord wanted him to go was everything. Has anybody here ever learned that? You see, he said, you should have a confidence. You may question a lot of things that I say, but you should have a confidence that says that the Apostle Paul is going to go where God wants him to go. And when he gets there, he's going to speak what God wants him to speak. I want you to have that confidence about me. Painful or fun? That it has come because I've heard the Lord speak it into my heart. You should live your life in that same way, that individuals will know that when you speak something, that it is truth. That your character speaks before you. You have to earn that, young folks. It doesn't just happen. You have to earn it. You have to walk it out before people until the point where they realize, oh, well, I've watched them. I can trust what they say. Paul takes the issue a step farther. He says, as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, or our message to you is without confusion or debate. I've not brought you a confusing message. One of the reasons why you are hurt about what I said was that I didn't sit and give you all sides of the issue. I told you what God said. Now see, sometimes we try to soften what God has spoken into our hearts to speak over someone else, maybe even our own family members. We want to soften it, and so we say, well, now let me give you all sides of the issue. And by the time you're done, they can't tell what it is you're saying. Hello? Instead of just laying down what the Lord has spoken to your heart and letting them work through that. Paul is asserting that the gospel and its distribution throughout the world is not by chance or by the will of men, but by God. God is speaking about who needs to be witnessed to at what moment, who needs to be spoken to at what moment, who needs to be preached to, what city is ready. You know, I was amazed earlier in my journey when I was pioneering churches. And particularly when I was in the district office and had the opportunity to go into towns. I started out with 93 towns and cities across the state of Indiana. And during the summer of 89, I drove into all of these towns all over the state of Indiana. And I would go there and I began to notice that certain things kind of became qualifiers as to whether or not those towns should have an Assemblies of God church. But there was one other piece that was not as exact. And that piece was whether or not the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart that it was time and prudent for it to happen. So what I ended up doing, I had different classifications. I would classify a town or a burg as ready, not ready, or never ready. I went into Delphi, Indiana, and I probably told you about this, but I'm going to bore you with it again. I went into Delphi, studying in the town of Delphi, 2,500 people. And driving into the town, I thought, There's only 2,500 people here. For us to spend thousands of dollars to start a church, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So I came in with a prejudice. And I looked and I saw a Hooks drugstore, which was one of my qualifiers. Somebody remember Hooks? It was bought out by CVS. Now you know CVS. But there was a Hooks drugstore. Well, okay, because it's a county seat, there's no other one around here. And I drive on in, and I go in. It didn't take me long, about 2 seconds, to get right to the square. And I parked right on the square, right by the courthouse, the county courthouse, and I'm sitting there. And I couldn't leave. And I thought, you know, this is crazy. I need to get on. I've got other towns, cities that I wanted to visit that day. I need to get on with it and just write this one off. But I couldn't leave. And I'm sitting there, and I sat there for almost an hour because I just literally could not leave until finally I go, well, okay, we'll see what happens. So I go back to the office, and I call some youth pastors, and I said, hey, would you bring your youth groups so we can come in, and we'll knock on all the doors in the town. We can do it all probably on a Saturday morning. And if anybody wants to have a church, we'll meet with them on Saturday night, thinking in my mind, this is kind of ridiculous, but it'll let some youth groups get some activities. It'll be good for them to knock on the doors. So we did it, and we ended up with 39 people who came to a meeting on that Saturday night and were incredibly excited about starting a full gospel church there in their community because they had none. And you know where that church started? Right there where I had my car parked, there was a dance studio. It was only about 20 feet wide and about 40-some feet long, and it had mirrors all down one side of it. And Brent Oliver and Tammy, who were here with us, they came to be pastors. I'm not going to go into all of that. They came to be the pastors. That church runs between 400 and 500 people right now, and ministers regionally. He was just telling me, a few days ago, we were at a funeral together, and he was saying that their Christmas gathering that they have every year at Christmas was over 1,200 people that came out and were ministered to over the 4 nights that they put it on. And I say, yes, Lord. See, you know, it's not yes and no. The only no that part comes in, the only confusion comes in if we refuse to listen to the Lord. Which Paul had already made up his mind on that. Here was his resolve. He says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He put his spirit in us, in our hearts, as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. In other words, the church belongs to the Lord. His servants and leaders belong to the Lord. His spirit is given to bring his plans to completion. It is the Lord's. And if you and I will turn our attention to the Lord, if we will begin to listen to the Lord and speak what He says and do what He says to do, then there are incredible results. Hallelujah. I looked really smart about starting the church in Delphi. And I mean, I've just confessed to you that I wouldn't have done it if it was on my own. You understand what I'm saying? You want to look really smart? Eternally? Do what the Lord wants. Now, I guarantee you, not everybody will think it's smart. I want to give you another thing here. Okay? It's down in verse number 23, and it goes through chapter 2, verse 4. But it's important to go with this. He said, I call God as my witness that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith that you stand firm. So I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you, for if I grieve you, who's left for me to make me glad but you whom I have grieved? I wrote as I did so that when I came, I should not be distressed by those who ought to make me rejoice. I had confidence in all of you that you would share my joy, for I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. He said, you know, when I realized that I hurt you in what I said, I did not want to come back and chance on hurting you more. Why? Because he knew that he could not change his position because it came from the Lord. You see, sometimes there's a temptation for this. You know, we realize that we hurt somebody, and so we call them back up, or we go to them, we say, oh, you know, I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to hurt our relationship. You know, what can I do? What can I say to change and bring us back together? And, you know, well, you can deny what you said. Take back what you said. Well, you know, if you've received that from the Lord, you just can't do that. So he realized until God gets a hold of them, until God shows them what he has shown me, I can't go back there because all it's going to do is hurt them more. Are you following that at a personal level? You know, that thing that you share with them from the Lord may cause a breach in your relationship. You may not be able to mend that breach. It may only come when they say yes to the Lord. You say, but see, that's the power of his truth. Don't try to undo what the Lord has done. You know, sometimes people need to get a little uneasy about the things that are going on in their lives. Sometimes. I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. And the reason was I didn't want to grieve you. And I wanted you to see how much I love you. You know, when I stand up here and I break open the Word of God and I share with you what the Spirit has shown me to share with you, there are times that I'm sitting in my study and I'm just shaking my head and thinking, oh man, some are not going to receive this. Some are probably going to leave the church over this. You know, there are certain words that if I say the word, get close to saying certain things from this pulpit, people leave. We have had people leave the church over truth that I have given because it's not where they're at in their life and they do not want to hear it. And they're angry with me to this day because I have shared the truth of the Word of God. And it happens more than you realize. There would actually be more people here this morning if it wasn't for me. It's true. However, let me close with this. In 2001, a Kansas City pharmacist was charged with diluting the cancer treatment drugs Taxol and Gemzar in order to make a bigger profit. After pleading guilty, the pharmacist named Robert Courtney was sentenced to 30 years in prison. Judge Smith told the man, "Your crimes are a shock to the civilized conscience." Judge Smith also ordered Courtney to pay $10.4 million in restitution and $25,000 in fine. His plea agreement, Courtney had to admit diluting drugs for profit since 1992, affecting as many as 4,200 patients. This man held life-saving power in his hands and for the sake of greed and personal gain, diluted it to the point where it could not help the people who had entrusted their lives to him. Do you get what the picture is here? If you and I know Jesus, if his Holy Spirit is in our life, a seal of our salvation, then he is speaking into our lives words of truth, not just for us, but for everybody in our world. If we withhold that truth from them, is it any different than this pharmacist diluting the drug to make more money? You see, we've kind of boiled it down that witnessing is an option. You know, well, I'm not into that. That's just not me. That's not my personality. I challenge you to go to the Word of God and find any of those things as being conditions upon spreading the Word of God. Not my personality. I don't like that. Huh? It's not there. You and I, if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, which I pray that you do, then His Spirit is inside of us as a seal of our salvation. And that means He's not going to speak to you from the outside. He's going to speak to you from the inside. And that voice will speak to you and say, go talk to them. And young folks, it may not be that He's necessarily wanting you to go preach to them, but He may want you to go to the person that nobody else speaks to. He may just simply say, you go talk to them. And it may be that you are going to break the barrier that exists around their life. They're isolated. Nobody talks to them. They're the unclean. They're the leper among you. And the Lord says, I want you to go talk to them. And He may, don't be surprised by this, because you see, He laid His hands on lepers. So don't be surprised, but what I'm speaking figuratively now, that He says, I want you to go and lay your hand on them. In other words, I want you to be nice to them. I want you to do something for them. See, He understands this church. In other words, he's not going to call one of you up here to preach and to face the consequences of that until you are willing to talk to the person standing next to you on the job. See, I want you to understand. See, that's where I learned, was first to begin to witness to one person, when the Lord spoke into my heart. And so, you know, the privilege was to see many souls saved. Saw 23 guys give their heart to the Lord in boot camp. And I went to our drill sergeant and said, I want to hold a prayer meeting every morning. Is that okay? Where do you want to do it? Where can I do it? He said, well, the only place that I can think of is a latrine. That's the bathroom. So I just made it known. I felt it in my heart, made it known. There's going to be a prayer meeting, a little Bible study every single morning. We'll have to get up a little bit earlier in the bathroom. So here we are sitting in the bathroom floor. 23 guys. Prayed the sinner's prayer. I have no idea where they're at, what they're doing. It was just being obedient on that particular day. I'm not telling you anything that Paul hasn't done, the pastor hasn't done, and I know others in this congregation are doing on a daily basis. Listen for the Lord. Share His word. Don't dilute it for your own gain. And I'm telling you in advance, some people will not receive it. They'll get mad at you and may not talk to you for a really long time. But why do we study this passage? It's so that you realize you're not alone. Even the great Apostle Paul had a whole church that was mad at him. Now maybe I've got one. Still love me? Don't lie. I love you. I believe in you. You know, this is not just words. These are not just words. This is the Holy Spirit's reality for us for this year. Whether we operate in it, whether we do it or not, I believe that there is a special anointing upon us as a congregation. I do. In other words, He's going to lay specific people on your heart for you to go to. That's why this is important. You know, you can start off, you can give all the reasons why, oh, I can't go to them. They would never hear it. You know what has happened in the past? And that is that the Lord has found the worst sinner in the whole town that everybody knew was the worst sinner in the whole town. And that's the one that he gets saved. And it turns a town into a revival place. Maybe you know that person. Maybe you are that person. Jesus saves. I said, Jesus saves.